Episode 20 of Consistently Above Average is here. Your first fresh off the press episode of 2025 and your first audio only episode since the Las Vegas episode back in December. Now, I will admit, there's a part of me that has been absolutely dreading sitting down to record this next episode. It is the first one off the back of the video interview, which is over on our YouTube channel, Consistently Above Average. Thank you very much for the subscribers, for the views, the comments, the feedback, the shares. Let's chat about that episode first before we talk about the dread. First of all, huge thanks to Kieran for doing the podcast. I have been lucky enough over the last couple of years to get those kind of conversations with him in smaller segments after training sessions. And for that to be now consumable for other people in a longer form type discussion about how he looks at things and the insight that he has into competitive sport and all of that. Absolutely brilliant. I did think it was funny if you're watching the video, if you're watching the video version, after about 20, 22, 23, 24, 25 minutes, he goes from kind of like sitting back in his chair to leaning forward and towards the microphone a little bit more. So treating that audio at the start was a little bit of a headache, but you could really feel him start to open up, chat a little bit more, and really hope that anyone who listened to it enjoyed it and took something from it. So first of all, thank you very much to him. Secondly, to everybody and anybody who had listened to it, shared that particular episode, whether it was on Instagram or any other way, texted it to people, WhatsApp groups, different stuff like that, whether it was the audio version or the video version, thank you so much. I posted it once, I left it at that. I could have turned it into multiple Instagram reels, small clips, clickbaity sort of things, a couple of things, could have talked, put it out of context, just tried to throw money onto social media to promote the clip, get it seen by more people. I didn't do any of those things. I probably could have and should have done some of those things in a way that I would have been happy of doing them. But regardless, I'm happy that it's out there. I'm happy that people can find it in the future or listen back to it at different times if they want to. For me, it was not about could you say something into this microphone that's kind of defamatory and it's going to get loads of people riled up and really annoyed and loads of people will listen to it. That wasn't really the objective of the video. And I've been thinking about that a little bit over the last while in terms of, well, why didn't you push it more? Why didn't you do this? Why didn't you do that? And I've had a couple of conversations with people about that. And rightly or wrongly, I've always had a sense of embarrassment within myself when it comes to these type of things. It might be a small sense of like vulnerability and stuff that I'm not 100% aware of or sure of just yet. But in terms of the embarrassment aspect of it, what I mean when I'm saying that is when I was covering MMA and covering events, that felt like it was news and it was topical. And I felt like I'm reporting on what is happening and it has to be out there ASAP. I was only doing a job. That was my job. I was just doing the thing. It felt strange and it does feel strange for people to be congratulating you on what you think is just your job. Not to sound too Roy Keane on Sky Sports punditry about it. Oh yeah, that's his job. He saved it. Yeah, that's the keeper's job. Blah, blah, blah. But I always remember like one particular interaction that I had many years ago. I was working in a nightclub in Dundalk on a Monday night. It was Monday. Student night. Back in the good old days. And I had been in Las Vegas on Saturday at one of the McGregor fights. And some fella said to me, Did I not hear your voice at a press conference asking Dana White a question? I was like, yeah. It's like, and you were in Vegas. I was like, yeah. And why are you here now? I was like, well, that was my job. I was doing my job on Saturday. And now this is my job now. And I'm doing my job now. And I think that for a long time, people thought that there was some like mythical money chest that I was receiving for doing all of that stuff. As opposed to the fact that working 4 to 5 nights a week in that nightclub is what was sending me to Vegas to go to those fights and to cover that stuff. So it was always just kind of like, no, that's just what I'm doing. I'm doing it because I want to be doing it, or felt I'm doing it because I have to be doing it. So this is the thing. You don't need to congratulate me, whatever. And now this is incredibly different because I'm literally doing this for a laugh and for myself. I alluded to it on the last episode. It was an accountability thing for myself. An episode every week leading up to the Nogi Europeans, now leading up to the Nogi Worlds, and now we're into 2025. And did I think in August that I would still be here in 2025 with thousands and thousands of downloads, people following, people giving off to me last week for not releasing a new episode, being like, where was it? And I'm like, oh, like I'm delighted that people have taken to it, maybe as much as I have since we launched it in August. But like I'm saying, like I'm literally doing this for the laugh now. This feels like it was just a conversation that you would have overheard in a gym that was just recorded and released. Like, I don't feel, and hopefully there are people who could back me up on that as such, but I don't feel that how I speak here or how I interview someone or how I chat to them on air, for example, is massively different at all to how I would communicate with people at the gym, getting coffee, talking to someone after training, or in general day-to-day life. I would admit that maybe when I'm being recorded, I'm not interrupting the other person as much as if it was a real-life conversation, because I'm an awful man for interrupting. Not branching off into several different streams of distraction and talking points while you're having that conversation with the person. So while it was great to see it be so well-received, people enjoying it, it still feels quite embarrassing for me personally, for people to have enjoyed it, for people to praise you for it, or to say like, oh, that was class, that was brilliant, you should do this, you should do that. And I'm like, well, relax, I'm literally doing this at the minute for the laugh. I'm doing it for myself. I wish I had the money every week to rent a podcast studio and to be able to pay people to give up their time and to come and do these interviews and stuff like that. But it's just what I'm doing. It feels like it's my job again. Even though that's not the case, again, sounds like I'm downplaying it here. I really appreciate how the feedback, the response, and to, like, from that perspective, not only do I really appreciate it, I've been absolutely buzzing with it. I'm delighted with it. I'm delighted that after such a long time away from doing that sort of stuff, that I can still have good conversations with people and people can still want to listen to them. There is a setting on the podcast provider that I use, we've talked about it before. We've added several new countries to the location of where the podcast has been listened to. New cities, new places and countries. I think that people need to have the location setting turned on that app or whatever for it to be logged. I'm not sure. But in particular, I want to shout out one person. I don't know who they are. That I think, I would have had to check this before I went on the air, I think they have listened to every single podcast from the same location. It's somewhere in Washington, and it's in a place called Osain Hall Park. I like to imagine that this person has a routine and they enjoy listening to the podcast from this place or location. Maybe they're walking the dog. Maybe they're going for a run. Maybe they're sitting on the bench. Don't know how much benches they were sitting on over the last while in terms of winter. Maybe they're drinking their coffee. Maybe they're going for a stroll by themselves. Maybe it's like, I need to get out. I'm getting out of the house. I like listening to a podcast when I'm out and about. This has only been shown to me as a tiny little red dot on that map. But I am aware that behind that little red dot, there is so much more of a story behind that in particular. So whoever, if you're listening this week, whoever that is listening in Washington, in Osain Hall Park, thank you very much. I see you every week. And even to the people in other places, Australia, Asia, New Zealand, South Africa, South America, who have tuned in last episode in particular. These are people, I assume, who have emigrated from Ireland, who are now living in these places. They've got a connection to home and wanted to consume that. They could have a story themselves. Maybe it's someone from Galway who was annoyed over them losing the All-Ireland final. Maybe it was someone from Armagh who couldn't have gotten home for the All-Ireland final. Someone who could have done this, could have done that. I was a great player, but, you know, fuck, oh, if it wasn't for my shoulder, if they had have applied themselves rightly, maybe they were listening to it in some far-flung country somewhere. Now they're a crypto millionaire and they're glad they left the sport behind. Maybe it's someone younger who's a talented player, due to their situation at home in Ireland, had to emigrate to give themselves a better opportunity of a better quality of life, and they're connected to their home through like a local GAA club in this foreign country or something like that, and they're thinking, oh, Jesus, maybe I could move back next year, get myself back into gear, and maybe I could do this and do that. And again, just from a very broad and basic perspective, these are just red dots on a map. But when I see them, again, I will never not appreciate that those dots have made a conscious decision to tune in to the episode, to listen to it, to consume it, maybe to share it. And every one of those red dots have a story behind it. And I think it's class to see it on the map itself. So the plan is that I'm hoping to have gotten another video interview done with somebody before the end of February. And I'm going to try and aim for between 8 to 12 episodes this year of longer form content. Now, I am thinking and toying around with the idea and the types of people I could ask to do it. Am I going to do it in a podcast studio? Am I going to be able to set something up on location? Am I going to be able to do like a fly on the wall type thing to observe people and be able to film people when they're doing what they do that I want to ask them about? What sort of theme or connection would I like the first handful of guests to have? How do I know them? Do I have a relationship with them? There's so many variables, and I'm very open to suggestions, recommendations, ideas, whatever you think you might like to watch or consume. You can get onto me on Instagram at consistently above average. But the main message is, let's not run again before we're barely learning to walk. I feel like I absolutely had to take a break over Christmas, and now that I'm the other side of it, 17th of January, I can say that it absolutely has been for the best. The reason why I say that I think it was for the best, coming back from Las Vegas was quite difficult. Obviously, I did the podcast, the post-reaction podcast and stuff like that, so you're still on kind of like euphoria, a bit of a high. Then you had the next day or two, then you had traveling back, then you had the post-tournament come down. Then I had the realization that a few more weeks of bicep curls and I would have been doing a lot better. Then you're straight into Christmas. And between the trip and between Vegas, I was stone broke. Not working over the festive period. Left me in a very strange headspace moving into the new year. Something that I wasn't happy with at all, in the slightest. Getting back into the routine of classes and privates and stuff has been fantastic already for January. And I've put a little bit of WD-40 on the wheel for 2025 to now and try and get it running that bit more smoothly, so we don't hit any sort of dips like that happened over Christmas. But if anything, it has given me a greater appreciation of this sort of like years long journey that you have to be on when you're chasing these sort of things. There can be ups and downs. There's going to be emotional ups and downs. You're going to have dips. You're going to have to live broke sometimes. You're going to have to be pushing the car seat up and back and looking underneath it to see if there's 2 or 3 euro there that might have slipped out of your pocket. Left a card at home. Your Revolut's not tapping. You just wanted to get a coffee at Apple Greens because you've already spent money on diesel, which is better spent to get the training. And tell you, there's nothing more humbling than a load of people telling you, God, that was brilliant, that was brilliant, well done, that blah blah blah, and you're there like, oh sorry, yeah, I'm just actually like sticking my hand through the metal support of my car here just trying to look for 2 or 3 quid there just to get a Braeburn coffee and Apple Greens. Again, assuming that you can see the benefit in moments like this, they could just as easily hinder you and start a spiral, affect your pride. But we got out the other side. This is a thriving January now, and we've made the plans. The plans that were made over Christmas were followed through, and I felt it was really important for me to do that. I made a decision regarding my training over Christmas to try and take it easier than I did the previous year. I only trained once a day. I took Christmas Day off, trained every other day. Last year I was doing 2 to 3 training sessions a day, and I was visiting a lot of gyms. I was going to a different place for hard rounds at least once a day or every like day and a half. And that left me very run down and sick when we got back into the schedule resuming in January. I was in bed sick for about a week. Then I had to start cutting weight for the Europeans, which left me in a worse place physically in terms of how I cut the weight and where I was this time last year. So I wanted to purposely just be like, once a day, either morning or night time, spend the rest of the time in front of the fire, studying, reading, watching telly, doing whatever, and just enjoying that time off. And I didn't start back to more like higher intensity training, like tiring yourself out badly training 2 or 3 times a day until like 6th of January. And that was one of the best things that I could have done, because body, mind, everything wise, I feel like I'm in a much better spot now. Tomorrow morning, Saturday morning, 7:15 in the morning, great time for a flight, always said it. Also the time the podcast gets released at every Friday. I'm heading to Portugal, European Championships. We're going back to Lisbon. This is the GI European Championships. I first went to Portugal to compete there in 2012. 2020 was the last time that I was there, because they're usually on in January in Lisbon. Then, of course, COVID happened. Then they moved them to Rome and then to Paris. It was in Paris for 2 years. And while I really liked the venue in Paris, getting in and around Paris, accommodation, stuff, very expensive. And like my best competitive performance and day was in Paris, was in that venue. It's an amazing facility. But I have such an insane connection and appreciation of Lisbon and this tournament in general that I'm just so, so happy that we're going back to Portugal for it this year. Now, I did explain the story in the Vegas episode about my mom having a brain hemorrhage 11 years ago this month. It was the day before I flew to Portugal to compete in 2014. So you can listen back if you did miss that story. But I've been here so many different times at different levels and capacities. I have never been back in the capacity of me how I am right now, considering myself an athlete, living and preparing to a better degree as an athlete, better headspace. I've been there coaching, I've been there competing, I've been there doing both. But there's one time that has come back to me a few times this week, and it was 2015. A friend of mine, who professional MMA fighter, had a very good career as a professional MMA fighter and never made any excuses for himself, worked around his schedule and prepared better than the people who were sitting at home who were saying that they were training properly. He pulled me out of the venue after my match by myself, stopped slightly short of physically pinning me against the wall, but brought me around the corner of the venue. And I was backed against the wall to a degree. I didn't feel threatened in the slightest, just to be clear. It was coming from a place of love. He called me an absolute effing disgrace. Now, for context, this man that morning saw me having what was probably like a can of Red Bull and 2 joints for my breakfast before leaving for the venue. I had my opponent in 2 clear-cut submissions in the match that I can remember. I can also remember at one point them trying to pass my guard, and the roof of this old venue in particular had a load of like cross-diagonal support beams. And when I was retaining guard, looking up at the roof and I was moving side to side, I was looking at it thinking like, Jesus, that's mad, isn't it? Just pure like stoner thought, do you know? I gassed out, gave up at around the 4-minute mark, got submitted around 5.5 minutes into the match. And to be honest, I really did not care. I was abroad, I was away from home, I was able to carry on in a very negligible, am I saying that word right? I don't know, in a poor way. He told me that your man was not better than you in any way, and you went out there and you pissed it away. You effed it up. Why are you competing like an idiot? What are you doing to yourself? Why are you acting like an idiot? Why are you smoking that shit? You're doing yourself a disservice by behaving this way. Now, from the story perspective, I would absolutely love to be sitting here telling you. And at that point, I stood up straight and I never did it again. And I went on to do this, that, and the other. But instead, what I did was, you know, he doesn't know what he's talking about. He's a gobshite, isn't he? Blah, blah, blah. I sulked. I made excuses. I went away off. Went back to carrying on that day in my own little stoner world. And sure, wasn't he a fool for talking to me like that? Blah, 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 blah. Now, for the record, I'm not demonizing it. There are very high functioning people and athletes with these habits, much more than you will ever know. This is common, but it doesn't suit everyone, and it didn't suit me. And I didn't realize until much later in my life how it really didn't suit me. Fast forward to 5 years later, I'm in the exact same situation, just this time as a brown belt. January 2020, similar breakfast, a way out, meeting people the night before I competed, going to bars, going to venues, going to like a nightclub, a five-story nightclub in Lisbon. I don't even drink. The ultimate act of self-sabotage, pure insanity. Go to sleep at 4 o'clock in the morning, wake up at 8 o'clock in the morning, go to the venue to compete. That match is on YouTube, actually. Again, opponent nearly loop choked, nearly submitted, dead to rights, gassed out, gave up, got submitted. Awful, awful morning. Did I care afterwards? No. Went straight away, bought more stuff, and just continued on carrying on. Terrible. Absolutely disgraceful. Now, next week, we're going back to Portugal. Well, tomorrow we're going back to Portugal. I'm competing next week, Tuesday. Competing in the Europeans next week for me is absolutely in no way about winning a gold medal. I'm just going to be upfront with you and say that. Or feeling the sense of confidence that I am unbeatable and I'm going to win every match and you're going to dominate everyone and you're relentless, you're a winner, you're a cleaner, as Tim Grover would say. I still have a little while to go before I've unlocked that mentality for competing as a black belt. 2025 is hopefully going to help me close that gap massively for when I am walking into one of these big tournaments in the future as a black belt thinking, yeah, this is the one, let's go. Whoever it is, doesn't matter. This is my day today. But I know that I am on the correct path towards feeling that way and being able to back it up. I will treat every match that I have, no matter how little or how many of them I end up having, with the same respect that it deserves. Competing at the Europeans next week for me is about beating myself, that I am in such a better headspace, personal space, physical space, my space, whatever space you can think of, I know I'm in a better spot. Now, they do say, whoever they is, the definition of insanity is repeating the same thing over and over and expecting different results. Now, it's not actually the definition, but it is an image that I've seen on the internet. And I suspect it sounds so good that it actually should be the definition of insanity. But in my mind, competition is the vehicle of testing yourself and working towards some form of self-improvement. I'm heading away back to the city where I've learned so many tough lessons about myself, made friendships, alliances, all of this sort of stuff that have lasted over 10 years and will hopefully last as long as I'm doing jiu-jitsu and maybe even further after that as well. There is something that hits you different when you and a group of other people are heading abroad to go after something like this, preparing together, staying together, training together, and going and trying and getting it. This man plagues me, torments me on a daily basis between sending me 50 Instagram reels and commenting abuse on everything that I post. John Luca, we will one day fall out massively and tear each other apart. That's going to happen. But I'll have that man's corner for as long as he is competing and as long as I am competing, because he has helped me out of baths, he's put me in towels, and has encouraged me when you're down. And that's him as the example, but it stretches back to the people that I've gone away with for the last 10 plus years. the people from Belfast, the people from Derry, the people from other gyms, the people that you know, the people that you're friendly with, the people that you see at the airport, see at these tournaments, between the flights, the accommodation, the meals out in a different country, the general crack that you're going to have from it, that bonding is important in the grand scale of things. And there are people who are listening at this, listening at that sort of aspect, and they're thinking, they're scoffing. They're like, oh, what a weak mentality, what a blah, 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 what a this, what a that. I am sorry. I'm gutted for you. I truly am so sorry that you haven't cared about something enough in your life to realize that that is the thing that matters the most. I'm not going to go full Mikel Arteta and hold up a light bulb and talk about electricity, but I will say, what's more important, the journey or the destination? And then he tricked Lacazette to say, what do you think it is? And he said, oh, the destination. He said, no, it's about the people you meet along the way and the friendships you make along the way. That man gets enough abuse from the entire community and the internet and the world, anyone that aren't Arsenal fans in particular. But do you know what? I loved it. To those people that scoff at that line of thinking, that way of how you should be approaching things, what's important when it comes to friendships, bonds, competing, teammates, all of this sort of stuff, I'm sorry that you've either never been good enough at something to be involved in that level of high thinking, or that you haven't cared about something enough in your life to realize, like I said, that that's what matters. I hope one day, hating is an illness. I hope you get better soon. But I do hope that you find the purpose, your purpose, at some point in your life, whether it's through music, art, sport, writing, whatever pursuit grips you and makes you want to jump into something headfirst at the deep end, even with the most basic knowledge of swimming, that there's a good chance you're going to drown. When you find that thing that you want to go after, I hope that you are not worried enough about, oh, well, that you don't go after it. I don't know who needed to hear that, but I know how many people that will be sitting at home next week who don't realize how good they can be or how good they could do at a tournament like this. And it's not for want of not nudging them. And it's not for want of not encouraging people. And I've spoken to so many other coaches who know that quite often their best guys and girls are at home. And they just, for whatever reason, maybe they don't want to do it. Or maybe they just don't believe in themselves. Or they haven't just gone to that big tournament before and they're nervous of doing it and stuff like that. Like, I'm heading off now, tomorrow. I'm not going to stop. I'm not going to give up. I'm not going to quit. I'm going to take every situation as it happens and see what I can make happen in return. If this was a Disney movie, I would tell you that that's all that really matters. But at the end of the day, results matter too. And so do performances. And while you can take lessons and improve, it's very clearly black or white, win or lose at the end of the day. You can win poorly and you can lose well. How you react to either of those things is down to yourself. Whatever one of those two things happens for me, maybe it'll be a different version of it. Maybe I'll lose poorly. Maybe I'll win well. Who knows? Oh, I can't wait. Once again, bit of a tangent there towards the end. Thank you very much to anyone who has listened to the last episode. Thanks for tuning in again if you did. This is entirely different from the last time, but this is what it was before that episode. There's going to be 8 to 12 longer video podcasts between now and the end of the year. That's the plan. There's going to be a significant drop off in listeners from the last one, and I'm aware of that. Hopefully a percentage of you have stuck around and have enjoyed it, given us another chance, are going to keep listening. If you're heading over to Portugal for the Euros, I can't wait to see as many people as possible over there. Give us a shout. I'm there from Saturday morning until Thursday. Unfortunately, I am missing the Black Belt Adult Divisions next weekend, but I'll be able to watch them from home. I just cannot wait to get back into that venue in Odeveles. Odeveles, outside Lisbon in Portugal, feel the atmosphere of that best European tournament of the year. Once again, thank you very much for tuning in. And in particular, thank you very much for tuning in to our listener in Washington, in Osain Hall Park. Good luck.